My name is Rudy Kelly, and I am an Aboriginal.
I am Chief.
My dad was a great chief of the Tsimshian Nation, beloved by his people. But at home, with his family, he brought anger and pain. He told me that to succeed, I would have to leave everything behind. Now I'm on a journey to find out who and what my dad really was. The Aboriginal is an all-new CBC podcast. Available now.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast.
Poser. It's somebody who's very Canadian. You know, heavy Canadian accent, big hockey fan, wears a toque. Clicks. Clicks is just short for kilometers. How far is it from Winnipeg to Portage-la-Prairie? Oh, she's about 150 clicks, bud. Molson muscle. Molson is a beer, and it refers to having a beer gut. A 2-4. That's a case of beer. If you come into a party in the summertime and you don't have a 2-4, you're not getting in, bud. Or you might come with a suitcase, which is just a 12. Toque. That's a wool hat with a pom-pom. Or not.
That's the actor and podcaster Will Arnett explaining some uniquely Canadian words for an American audience. There's a lot of you probably starting to think about some of those words. What are they? What are some of the words that we use here in this country that perhaps people elsewhere wouldn't understand? Runners, not sneakers. Giver. When you give her. Keener, if you're somebody who is eager to please. The last edition of the Canadian English Dictionary was published 2 decades ago. It's a long time ago. A lot has changed since then. Well, now a new edition of that dictionary is in the works. John Chu is editor-in-chief of the new Canadian English Dictionary, also the CEO of the North American Scrabble Players Association. He's with me in studio. Good morning.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Thanks for being here. Why do we need this? Why is it important to make a new Canadian English dictionary now?
Well, to clarify, this is not a new edition of a previous dictionary. We have not had any Canadian English dictionaries for the last 20 years.
There's been nothing for 20 years. We've been living in a vacuum.
We've been living worse than a vacuum. We've been living in a false dichotomy between having to choose between US and UK spellings every time we want to check our spelling in a document.
The humanity. How could we possibly be in such a state?
Well, and it's not, you often will not get the correct answer by choosing either exclusively UK or exclusively US spellings. And it demotes us from being a country in our own right, to having our own linguistic variety of English, to a country where we have to choose. If we want to say that we're going to a tire center to replace our winter tires, as we might be doing this time of year, do we spell that center the American way or tire the British way, or do we spell it tire center the correct Canadian way, TIRECENTRE?
You said it demotes us as a nation?
It demotes us as a nation.
What do you mean by that?
Well, even the Australians have their own dictionary. And Canada had a plethora of dictionaries up until 20, 25 years ago when we last had an updated edition of the Canadian Oxford Dictionary. Yeah. Before that, we had the Nelson Gage dictionaries and so on. And growing up, I remember we had nice red-bound volumes of Canadian dictionaries that told us as school children how to pronounce our words, how to spell our words. And I've been talking with a lot of people ever since about why do they want a dictionary? It's because, well, to start off with, the whole project was initiated by the Editors Association of Canada. Mm. They can't do their job without a dictionary. If they're told that they need to use a Canadian reference, they're stuck with one that's 20 years old, and then they have to refer to the Queen's printer instead of the King's printer. They have to use really dated definitions of words like Queen or queer in other senses. They would have to refer to the Queen Charlotte Islands instead of the Haida Gwaii. It's a total mess.
It's about who we are.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. It's not only about who we are, but communicating with other Canadians, which I think is the most important part of this. A lot of people that I've talked with are first-generation immigrants who say that they don't understand how their kids are talking. Well, I mean, this is a perennial problem with any generation in any location. But they expect that if they get a notice from their child's school, then it uses words that they're not familiar with, like, say, quadmester, which did not exist 20 years ago, not even 5 years ago, that they should be able to find a reference that explains what the word means. And it's just not there.
Longtime CBC listeners will be familiar with the name Catherine Barber, who was for many years the word lady. She was known, that was her, what she called herself. She had a column on CBC radio. She would appear on a regular basis and talk about some of these words. And she helped create that Oxford Canadian English Dictionary many, many years ago. How did you get involved in this? Why did you want to get
involved? Oh, that's a long and complicated path, but I'll try and keep it short. I grew up in a multi-ethnic household. My father was, in fact, still is at the age of 100, emeritus professor of linguistic anthropology at the University of Toronto. Mm. So he always had dictionaries of every language you could think of and stacks of English dictionaries on our dining table growing up. My mother was Japanese and perpetually asked my father, and as we grew older, the rest of us, why do you say these things in English? I mean, why do you need articles, a and the? Why do you talk about the sky being blue, but then say that there are blue skies today? Is it singular or plural? Mm. She was very confused about the plural singular distinction of pants and brassiere. Why is one plural and the other singular when you think it would be the other way around? But so I grew up in an environment where we were always talking about words, where they came from, what effect they had on people, what they meant. Then I decided that I wanted to become a mathematician and a computer scientist, and I did my studies in those. But then I found my people. My people are Scrabble players, mm-hmm. competitive Scrabble players. And I started working, playing the game competitively, intensely, and then there was a need for someone to edit the tournament word list to decide which words were good and which ones weren't. And so I started writing my own very specialized dictionaries to support the community.
So you are perfectly suited to be doing this work. How do you do it? How do you start to create a new dictionary?
Oh, well, first of all, you have to talk to your wife about whether this is a really good idea to be committing this.
Having gotten the green light, then you can continue.
Right. I wasn't initially planning on doing this. I was kind of hoping just to be a part of the team mm-hmm. so that I could get those new Canadian words fresh off the presses into the Scrabble dictionary. But it is a monumental, it's a Herculean task to try and start a dictionary from scratch. We are thankful that we've got partners in the form of Nelson Education who have given us permission to start with their Gage dictionary, but that's more than 20 years old as well. The first job is to recruit a team of like-minded people, and we've got interesting volunteers from the Canadian English Lab at UBC, the Strathy Language Unit at Queen's University, a group of graduate students at Toronto Metropolitan University. We get the people involved that have a variety of skills. And then the next step is you build what's called a corpus, which is a collection of examples of usage from a wide range of sources, gigabytes of data. So this used to be easier than it is now because people are more aware of the monetary value of large collections of data, but we've still had a lot of good cooperation from government sources, and some prominent Canadian authors have said, please use all of my work. Then we look at what's changed in the last 20 years. We look to take an example, the word kayak, Q-A-J-A-Q or K-A-Y-A-K, which is the more prevalent spelling and under what circumstances? So you look in the corpus, you see, well, if it's written in a Northern Canadian context, it's probably spelled with a Q. If it's some sort of American abomination with a sail or a motor attached to it, it's probably a K. Then you have to work on a definition and an etymology, and you have to get it checked by, you have to do a sensitivity review, you have to do a technical review, and so on. It's a long process, could take anywhere between 5 and 100 years.
I had read that people who are building dictionaries start with the letter M. Is this right?
That is traditional.
Why is that? Why wouldn't you just start with A?
Because everybody thinks you're going to start with A, so you're trying to fake them out.
Ah.
And you're going to make mistakes the first time around, and when you first release whatever letter you're going to release, and we're going to be doing this letter by letter, starting, in fact, with the letter Q, we know we're going to have to come up with a second edition of that first letter relatively quickly to catch all the mistakes that I shouldn't say mistakes, because I loved Catherine Barber as an editor. Mm-hmm. I found only two mistakes in my long history of reading the Canadian Oxford Dictionary, and I communicated them to her, and I'm going to try very hard to make sure that I make fewer mistakes in our dictionary than she did in hers.
Two is a pretty good record. So,
it's an awesome record, but we've got an awesome group of editors and so on working on the project. But so to get back to your question about M, dictionary editors traditionally start with the letter M, because if you start with the letter A, people opening the dictionary for the first time will look at the letter A and they'll say, oh, you made a mistake about the word aardvark here. I don't want to read the rest of it.
They're going to close it up and throw the book in the garbage. Right.
So M is a good, fat, plentiful, copious letter right in the middle where it's buried. Nobody's going to randomly turn to it. It's got enough letters that you're not going to miss any issues that you'll have with the design of your dictionary. We thought about the letter X, which is the shortest letter, but there aren't enough interesting words in X. Whereas Q is awesome,
especially for a Scrabble player.
Well, yeah, 10 points, right? Yeah. Two more points than an X. But Q is awesome for a Canadian dictionary because we have all those words that started with queens, all these phrases started with queens that are now obsolete, queens printer, court of queens bench, and so on, that are now kings, whatever.
But also you talked about, you said some of the uses of a word like queen have changed over time.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Certainly in the last 20 years.
I wouldn't be comfortable reading out a definition from 20 years ago, a dictionary definition from 20 years ago for the word queen or the word queer.
Yeah.
So those, we have to figure out. It's not a matter of being woke or politically correct. We're documenting how people actually use the words, and we want to be a guide to people so they don't, put their foot in it when they use a word in a way that they think is the current modern correct way, but could get them into trouble.
Let me ask you just a couple of things before I let you go. One is, when one of these dictionaries was published years ago, it was a bestseller, right? It sold like 200,000 copies.
Yes, yeah.
It's a big deal. What does that tell you about what we as Canadians are looking for, or were looking for back then? Like it was a moment of national pride in some ways when this thing came out.
Oh, for sure. No matter how divisive we get in this era, I'm convinced that there's a deep well of Canadian patriotism when it comes to things that are culturally related, such as our language. And people want to know what is Canadian, what is not. There's actually that opens up a wider question, though. Of there's so much variety to Canadian English. Are we talking about Newfoundland English, Toronto English, the English of someone who just immigrated from South Asia and calls himself Canadian, or what? But we all consider ourselves Canadian, and we would all like to have our identity confirmed and represented by a work like a new Canadian English dictionary.
Which speaks to the question that I was going to ask you, which is how do you define what Canadian is?
Well, I have an academic colleague, Professor Dollinger at the University of British Columbia, who has six different academic categories for Canadianisms. Let me see if I can remember them. They are Canadian in origin, such as the word garburator or loony, Canadian because everybody else stopped using the phrase outside of Canada, like pencil crayon. Canadian because we changed its meaning, like toque or Canuck. Canadian because it's important to us in a good way, like universal healthcare. Canadian because it's important to us in a terrible way, like residential school. And then lastly, Canadian because we just think it's Canadian, like the particle A, EH, or washroom, or cube van. These are phrases that people use elsewhere in the world, but we use them a lot, and we just say that they're Canadian.
Do you have a favorite Canadianism?
Well, as a Scrabble player, it's got to be kayak, QAJAQ.
How many points do you get for that?
That would be 30 points just as a base without any bonuses. If you played it as your opening move, you get to double the Q to make it 40, and then double the word, that's 80 points.
You said double-double, which is also another Canadian.
Yes.
Well done. John Chu, we will look forward to this coming out, and we'll have you back. As it progresses, I don't know, when you get beyond the letter Q, we could talk more about this.
I'd love to be back to share what we've learned by doing the letter Q.
John Chu is the editor-in-chief of the New Canadian English Dictionary, CEO of the North American Scrabble Players Association. Do you have any favorite Canadianisms, words that we only use here, that if you said them south of the border or anywhere else, people would look at you with a peculiar look on your face? You can let us know. And if there are words that perhaps should be in this dictionary that have changed over the last 20 years, let us know. Email us, thecurrent@cbc.ca.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.